I warned you haven't seen my lass, her name I wouldn't mention. For fear you're gonna tell her how I like her, so I did.
My Uncle Freddy by Alex Ferguson. Episode 2. Love's Long Journey.
Christmas Day in Hurworth Place. When I was a child in Jarrow, Christmas was the time when armistice was declared, and every weary warrior climbed out of the trenches. Families gathered to share the best of meals, the ingredients garnered by ingenuity and persistence, besieging the shops until in the dying moments of the day, the despairing butcher or greengrocer got shot of the last of his birds and fruit. With what triumph and jubilation were mutilated poultry, pomegranates and mandarins carried home. In my head, they chatter happily in the still pool of Christmas. Our mam and dad, Auntie Bella and Uncle Freddy. Only my sisters, Nancy and Peggy, are absent, serving a more expensive but less appreciated meal to the big stomachs in the big hoose.
Yeah, absent friends.
Absent friends, not forgotten.
Nancy and Peggy.
God bless them.
And Proteus.
Who?
The pig. Don't forget the pig. To Proteus.
Right. To Proteus. I never thought I'd be drinking to a pig.
The world has spun itself to a standstill. The angry tide recedes. And here we are, safe as haystacks, in our kitchen in Hurworth Place, with full stomachs and forgiving hearts. Mr. Chamberlain is back from Birch's Garden, waving his worthless scrap of paper, while the real war rumbles on in Spain, where the bravest of the brave are already silent. It is Christmas, 1938, the last year of an uneasy peace.
I thought I'd done well to snatch this old broiler, but McAtominy says to us, "Hang on a minute, missus."
"Oh, yes."
I said, "Now what, Mr. McAtominy?" He gave us a daft look and said, "I've something better for you."
He never.
I said, "Mr. McAtominy, I only have the ninepence." But he came back with this scraggy turkey.
"What, turkey? I never knew we were eating turkey."
"Here," he said, "it's only one leg and one wing, and it's been on the floor, but none the worse for that. I've been saving it for the cat's meat, man. But no surprise, he hasn't turned up."
"Charlie, cat's meat gets dizzy spells. He has to lie down on his barrel."
"Oh, Lecky, we know what makes Charlie dizzy."
I said, "I don't like going into debt." He said, "Ninepence." Yeah. Blew his nose like a walrus, opened the shop door, said, "Merry Christmas, missus," and gave us another queer look. He was still stood staring when I looked back.
And what have you been up to?
"Haven't been up to anything, our dad."
"Is that Charlotte Macaroni mixed up in this?"
"No, she hates the shop. She tells people our dad's a veterinary surgeon."
"Oh, hey, at least she doesn't tell people our father's deed like you did."
"Oh, it's not your turn, Freddie."
"I wouldn't tell anybody you were dead, Freddie. Even if you were dead, I wouldn't tell them."
Somehow that's really not very comforting.
Hey, do you know what I think?
Go on, Jamie, what do you think?
McAtominy views our Lecky as a prospective son-in-law.
No,
be fair, I mean, is he Jewish? They could be married at 30.
How much have you had married to drink? You don't think...
What? Oh, nothing. Oh, Bella, you cannot say you don't think and then say, "Oh, nothing." Come on, spit it out.
You don't think McAtominy's got a pash on you, do you, Mary?
Yeah, if I catch him smoking at you, I'll rearrange his apparatus for him.
Davy, don't be so daft.
You've got all red on, ma'am.
That's why he gave you the turkey. A love token.
With a wing and a leg missing. He was going to give it the cat's meat mask.
So he said. "Oh, the pangs of unrequited love."
"Well, I've heard of getting the bird before, but it's generally accompanied by a basket of raspberries."
"Yes, well, you stay out of this, Freddie. You're only making things worse."
"He wasn't giving you a queer look, Mary. He was giving you the eye."
"When he was still stood staring, that was a look of unconsummated longing, Norma."
"Will you stay out of this, Hippocrates?"
In Love's Long Journey, as Delia Applegate walks by, Felix fixes upon our look of unconsummated longing.
"Bella, don't encourage him."
"Things go from bad to worse when Delia becomes a postmistress, and every day Felix is tormented by a glimpse of slim white fingers in his letterbox."
Terrible
dear, when I saw a glimpse of a gold ring, Felix tries to commit suicide with a frying pan, but it's really only Mrs. Garrity next door putting through notice about the whiz driver at the asylum.
"Right, Christmas or no Christmas, you're going out on the stairs."
"I'm still thinking of this. Slim white fingers."
The picture of a perfect Christmas dinner, don't you think? Daftness reigns, but not only in our kitchen. Anthony Eden has resigned from the government in a tearful sulk. Mr. Chamberlain has insisted the Germans be given Czechoslovakia for Christmas, and our ma'am is suitably confused about Mr. McAtominy's intentions.
He's a good little thing.
Oh, it's grander!
That's all we need for a perfect Christmas.
He's your father, Davy.
And it is Christmas.
Aye, the season of goodwill to all men.
Oh, aye, any excuse.
Grander, you've come. I thought you weren't coming.
Of course I'd come right well, wouldn't I?
Well, I can think of a dozen good reasons.
Davy, don't just stand there. Come on in, Father.
Merry Christmas.
And to you, Bella. Seasonal greetings to one and all.
Aye, Merry Christmas, Davy. Here, have this chair.
Are you sure?
Here, park your backside, man. Aye. I have had elegant sufficiency. Go on.
Don't get up, Mary. Oh. I'll get his dinner.
Oh, thank you for the invitation, Pat.
What invitation?
All right. Oh, the invitation your good lass sent me.
But you invited him. Did you not think what state he might be in?
Here you are, Father, as Freddy would say.
Get yourself round that, Davy.
That, believe it or not, is turkey.
Turkey? How have you come by turkey?
An affair of the heart. You'll have to get Mary to tell you.
I wouldn't count on it.
Tell us when to hold off for the gravy, Davy.
Will you take a glass, Father?
You'd be better off with tap water.
Only a mouthful to go with his dinner.
Well, did you invite him, Mary?
Is this the right time to discuss it? He's here.
Did you not stop to think what state he might have been in? Bang would go our Merry Christmas then. With him paralytic.
As it happens, Davy, our guest is a clean, sober old gentleman who happens to be related to you.
Unfortunately, Lecky Sona, I don't have a Christmas present for you.
That doesn't matter, Grandad. No. I've already got 4 books, an orange and a new vest, and our dad's going to resew me boots. I've got everything I need, thank you.
Lucky lad. My luck, as Mr. McCarver says, is due to circumstances beyond my individual control.
Or, as Dickens also said, did you ever hear a Captain Wattle? Not so much for love, but a lot for the bottle.
However, I can offer you a portrait of His Gracious Majesty King George.
A picture of the king?
Me last penny. One copper coin of the realm. A token for Christmas.
Thank you very much, Grandad. It might be your last penny, but it'll be my first. I shall treasure it.
Until you trip our porter's step.
No, I won't.
If this dinner is ruined, Davy, I'll know who's putting the bang under Christmas.
Grandad reached across the generations with the penny, and I opened my palm to receive it from his broken nailed fingers. For a moment he touched my hand and I looked into his face. What I held was a token of love unspoken. What I glimpsed in his face was regret at his failure to be to me what he might have been. But I loved him nonetheless. So you'll forgive me that I didn't read the date on that singular penny.
I haven't tasted a dinner like this, Mary, since I don't know when. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Father.
The last dinner I had like this would be the last Christmas with Granny. She'll be very pleased to having this one with us.
No, last Christmas he was flat on his back outside the Ben Lomond. Ah, don't begrudge him his dinner.
Oh, that's biggie, you seen. I cooked it.
He's nearly eaten it all anyway.
What I don't like is sneaky behaviour. I mean, did you invite him behind me back, Mary?
You're putting me in a very difficult position, Davy.
Did you invite him?
I invited him, our dad.
You?
The lad said his mum was inviting me.
There, you've shamed us, Davy. Satisfied now?
So what right did you have to invite him?
I did it for Granny. I know she wouldn't want him to be left all on his own.
You don't know what she would want.
Yes, I do. She'd want him here, with us. Not on the pavement. I know she would. Is that what being old means, then? You're not wanted? Then I don't want ever to be old. I'd sooner be dead and buried first.
Oh.
Well, I reckon the lad shamed us all.
Oh, look, here, look. I'll be on my way now, Mary.
Oh, surely not, Father.
I don't want to put a dampener on the proceedings.
If you go, you will spoil everything.
Besides, you haven't had your Christmas pudding.
I'm not a big one for pudding, Bella. Thanks very much for the dinner, lad.
You're welcome any time, Father.
Oh, sit yourself down, you stupid old beggar, before somebody starts up the violins.
Well, thank you, Sean. I appreciate the invitation. I'll have me pudding after all, Bella. Oh. I've got a sudden hankering for it.
I thought you were never going to say it, Davy. Close run thing.
Aye, well. You kind of reckon how many Christmases this old man's wrecked.
Well, don't you wreck this one. Give my idiot son a shout, Freddy.
There's one thing I should mention. I'm shifting.
From Union Street? Yeah. Where are you going then, Father?
27 Curry Street.
Down by the gasworks.
Cream your lungs for free.
Yeah. But you've always lived in Union Street.
Not much longer.
When are you shifting, Davey?
Monday.
Oh, come and get your hand.
I'd be grateful.
We're shifting ourselves, you know, south to Redden.
Mm-hmm. Redden? Mm-hmm. But it's hundreds of miles.
That's a heck of a leap that is, Davey.
When did you decide this?
Oh, don't look at me, Bella. I don't do the deciding in this house, apparently. I don't even get asked.
So when did this come over here, Davey?
Down south, there's sweet air. Sunshine, trees, flowers. Everything there isn't here. And best of all, you know, we'd be better than a sanatorium in Switzerland for Mary.
I cannot argue with that.
There's jobs for bakers with Huntley and Palmer.
You don't know how to bake biscuits.
We'll put in for a council house.
Oh, aren't I lucky to have somebody to organise me life?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a bit of a shock to the system, but... Well, Davy's right, Mary. I mean, it would be much better for you. The air's so clean down there. I'm really very pleased for you. Oh, I want to be happy for you, and I can't stop crying on a selfish...
Come and give us a hug. You really are the most unselfish person in all the world. Who ever had a better sister? Oh, how can I bear to part with you? Shh, Bella, shh. It's not the end of the world.
It is to me. It's worse.
Oh, what dafties we are. You'd think somebody had died. Oh, just think. Just think of the lovely holidays you can have coming down to her. And we can come up to you. Better can you out, Jarrow, with boxes and boxes of biscuits. The best is yet to come, Bella. I promise you, the best is yet to be.
Well, I'm not going. That's final. You'll have to go without me. Wild horses won't drag me away from Jarrow, so you needn't bother trying. You can go to Redden, but I'm staying with Uncle Freddy and Auntie Bella. Oh.
Everything's going wrong, Auntie Bella.
Everything's going very nicely, thank you. There's not a smut on the washing. We'll have the kettle on shortly and we'll give ourselves a treat with love's long journey, shall we?
You're doing it deliberately.
Doing what?
Pretending. When anybody can see it's all going wrong. Granny's gone. Grandad's shifted.
Only to Curry Street?
It's a sign.
Oh, so when did you start reading signs?
Then you and Uncle Freddy will be gone.
We're going nowhere.
You'll be 300 miles away. Then there's Charlotte, whose name must not be mentioned in this house. She'll never love us now.
Who knows? Love's long journey lasts a lifetime.
That's just in the book.
I never thought to hear you say that, Lecky. Just in the book. Never. You listen to me, Lecky. I swear it's true. Love's long journey lasts a lifetime. Can you imagine how it was during the war, when our men were not 300, but sometimes thousands of miles away? Can you imagine what we felt when the telegram boy came into the street? Every woman prayed, God forgive us, please let him go to someone else's door. How do you think these widows coped, raising fatherless bairns? How do you think these childless women faced each day, faithful to their last breath to the men who didn't come back, if they didn't believe in love's long journey? 300 miles? A mere hop, skip and a jump. Charlotte Macaroni will be green with envy. You and your Oxford accent.
I don't want her turning green. I love her how she is, and I don't want an Oxford accent.
And then there's the holidays. Oh, we'll have such fun.
But our mam doesn't need to come to Jarrow and Alder. She's here already. She's happy here.
I think we're due a dose of love's long journey. I'll warm the pot, you get the book.
I appreciate this, Freddy.
Oh, it's no bother now, Davy. Now, you've got the key, haven't you?
Oh, I've got the key, all right, aye.
Hey, how are you, man? Don't rock the boat. What are you playing at? Oh, I might have known.
Oh, no. It's a black shirt's grander.
What you got on the cart, Freddy? Monkey rubbish.
Oh, it's none of your business, but he's shifting my bits and pieces.
I know you, grander. I do, don't I? Huh? I saw you hide out of the cottage the other week.
If you'll step aside, we'll be on my way.
The old man's a well-known tosspot.
Hey, don't you call my grandad names.
He was with his maras sucking the red biddy when Daft Charlie set himself on fire. The poor bugger nearly burnt to death.
Is that true, grandad?
We're just shifting the old man's bits and pieces.
We'll give you a hand then.
Hey, 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 hey. Come on, hey!
That any easier?
Uncle Freddy, aren't you going to do anything?
There was no need for that.
Nay bother, Granda. Ta-ra for now.
Uncle Freddy! Why'd you let him do that?
I'm sorry, Davy, but I think the leg on his chair's bust.
No, you only need one chair. It'll do for kindling.
Oh, let's get a panic on. Let your pistol get up. That's it, son. Oh, well, off we go.
Well, the bed's up anyway. Look at those walls, you have bugs. You should strip the paper.
Oh, maybe so will. When I get settled.
Well, I don't like this house, Granda.
You don't? Once I get the fire started, things will cheer up.
It's a horrible place. It stinks. Are you sure nobody's died here?
Oh, you're a cheerable one. It just needs warming up to get rid of the damp.
Hey, there's no tap in this scullery, you know.
I wasn't expecting a rinse.
Aye, but if it freezes outside, man, you'll be without water.
Oh, I'll manage.
What about coals?
Ah, there'll be enough in the coal house to start us.
Go and have a look, little. Here's a good lad. You know, this place is beginning to look expensive at 4 and 6 pence, Davy.
I'll be, when I get the blaze going.
Now, you can't keep burning chairs, man. And I bet a dollar to a tanner, that bedroom's crawling.
Oh, have a tough hide.
You know, I have to say, Davy, you were better off in Union Street.
I couldn't stay there after she'd gone, do you understand? Wherever I am now doesn't matter a toss.
Hello, Mr. McAtomity. How are you today?
Oh, not you, surely. Could you, ma'am, not take a hint that was big enough?
What was?
A nice wee turkey for 9 pence.
You said it had been on the floor, and you were saving it for the cat's meat, man.
I was hinting she should have a word to stop you coming round here.
She said I couldn't come round here.
Ah, thank you, Lord. The turkey did not die in vain.
Is Charlotte in, Mr. McAtomity?
Why do you persist in this daftness, son, when she barely speaks to you?
When she does speak to us, I'm so happy you wouldn't believe, Mr. McAtomity.
But there's lots of other nice lasses, surely.
I cannot live without her.
Oh, no, that's a daft thing for a lad your age to be saying. Has your mother tried Epsom salts?
It's true, Mr. McAtomity. If Charlotte were not in the world, I would die. I wake up in the morning and I work out how I can see her.
But you don't even go to the same school.
I go down hers at dinner time and tea time. Some days I miss the last lesson to make sure. You won't tell our mum, will you?
No, son, I won't.
Do you know, Mr. McAtomity, when I see her, I cannot breathe.
It cannot be worth all this misery, surely.
When she smiles at us, the world is wonderful.
I open in your bowels every day. You're not constipated, are you?
Now our dad says we have to shift to Redden so he can bake biscuits. What am I going to do?
Well, son, with the best will in the world, I cannot shift the shop to Redding. Are you getting enough exercise?
I'm travelling love's long journey, Mr. McAtomity. Auntie Bella says it can last a lifetime.
I sincerely hope not. Wait there a minute, son.
Please don't do us a turkey, Mr. McAtomity.
There you are, son. With my compliments.
2 tickets for the pantomime. Oh, Mr. McAtomity, thank you very much. Now I shall see Charlotte's feet scarcely kiss the boards.
Take your mother. She must be a long-suffering woman. A quiet sit-down in a dark place would be good for her.
I will. I will. Oh, how can I ever thank you?
Granda! Granda! It's only me, Leggy.
Granda? You're still in bed? Am I disturbing you? Only it's nearly 1 o'clock. Granda, you're frightening us. Your arm's cold. You're not dead, are you? Oh, Granda.
Oh, Mum! Quick! Oh, Mum! Something terrible! Oh, Mum, come on!
Whatever it is, I can't come do on. Anything until you tell us what's happened.
I want to see Granda. I think he's dead.
Oh, no, get me shawl. Just stand there and get your breath back.
Quick, oh, Mum, be quick!
If he is dead, there's no point in hurrying. He's not dead. The stupid man's half freeze to death. Father, rouse yourself. Father, out of that bed. Up you get, you daft man. No, no, you can't lie down. Up you come.
What are all those marks?
He's been half eaten by bugs.
Bugs?
Get a fire started in that other room.
Yes, sir, ma'am.
Now then, sit up, Father. Here's a good man. Let's get you up. Start that blood moving.
That's close, but there's no candle.
Break up anything, but please that fire.
Yes, sir, ma'am.
Drink this, Father. No. It's only hot water, but it's the best I can do. You are a very stupid man, do you know that? You nearly freeze yourself to death. I think you've done this to torment us.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary.
Sorry? But... You ought to be. Frightening the bane of death into the bargain.
I thought you were dead.
You're lucky Lecky came to see you, or you would have been.
Oh, thank you, son. Oh, you're a good lad.
And worse, you're lousy. Bugs and lice both. Never seen anything like this since Davy came out the trenches. The place is heaving. Next stop for you, Father, the public baths. No arguing. Here's sixpence. Get yourself down there.
Yes, Mary.
And tell the fat wifey to put your clothes in the steamer. This is a terrible house, Leggy. Not fit for pigs. Nobody in their right mind would live here. That stupid man came here to die. Your father's right. He isn't worth bothering with. All he creates is misery and more misery. We'd be better off if he was dead.
What's that, old man?
Oh, my God!
Where's the street gone?
Where the cobbles of Curry Street should have been was a gaping hole where the street had fallen through into an old mine shaft. Outside the door of number 27... the pavement flags trembled on the brink of the abyss. Across the road, a woman appeared in her doorway.
What's happened? Do you know what's happened?
It's a subsidy, love. The whole gun's riddled with them. I'll tell them time and time again, well, I'll get swallowed up one day. Are you all right over there?
Granda. Granda's gone.
He just stepped out just this minute.
The old man, oh my God, he'd only just moved in.
Well, he's just moved out.
The woman vanished from her doorstep, and my mother and I regarded each other with growing horror. My mother bravely stepped out onto the pavement, as if she would descend the bottomless hole and rescue Grandad single-handed. But the flagstone wobbled, and reluctantly she stepped back into the lobby. The woman across the road reappeared.
Just you hang on, Pet. Me man's away up the colliery. The rescue men will be here any time now. Don't you worry yourself. They'll soon hike him out. Once you've just undone, they're as good as new.
The movement of the house meant we couldn't shut the front door properly, but we went inside to sit on the table, which was all there was left to sit on. Both Grandad's chairs had now been smashed and burnt. We stared into the fire. My mother cried quietly for a moment, while I pretended not to notice. Then she dried her eyes and blew her nose.
Stop swinging your legs. You'll have the table over, then where would we be?
On the floor? Tomorrow, we'll have to chop the table up anyway.
It's my fault.
No, it isn't, our ma'am.
If I say it's my fault, I don't expect you to contradict me. The last thing I said was to wish him dead. Well, he is dead. I shall have his death on my conscience for the rest of my life.
You didn't mean it.
Oh, but I did. And I sent him out there. I sent him out like a whipped dog, out to his death.
We stood in the doorway and watched these Geordie pitmen, brave, daft lads, fresh off their shift with coal-stained faces, lower themselves into the gaping abyss, regardless of their own safety.
Go out the back, up the corner shop. 2 pennies of tea, sugar and milk.
But our man...
Grandad'll need a cup of tea. We need to be ready.
I ran up the lane and fell into the corner shop, fidgeted while the old wife folded the paper cones and ran back down to the backyard door. I heard the cheering over the rooftop when I stumbled into the yard. When I got into the room, I found our ma'am struggling with a little old man I'd never seen before.
What's going on, our ma'am? Your ma'am's no lally. She's stood by your locked door.
You sit on the table and behave yourself.
What's going on?
Your granda was never in the hall. This is what they dug out and presented me with. I didn't know where to put my face.
Have you not got any chairs?
Be content with the table and don't swing your legs. Oh.
But why you dragged him in?
I hadn't the heart to refuse him. After the way those lads risked their lives, do you think I'm going to say, oh, I'm sorry, it's the wrong one, throw him back? I've been so embarrassed in my life. But I'm not going to be humiliated in front of Curry Street.
I want to go home, Mrs.
You'll go home when I'm good and ready and not before.
But little old man squeezed every last penny out of our mam's purse before he slipped away into the dusk with 5 woodbines and Grandad's only silk handkerchief. When the cleanest grandad there's ever been marched in, strongly scented of carbolic and jay's fluid, our ma'am gave him one almighty tongue-lashing, though he hadn't put a foot wrong all day. Then we took him home to Hurworth Place. He slept with me, and I woke in the night when he began to talk to my grandmother and call out her name. In the stilly darkness I learned love's long journey lasts beyond a lifetime.
She mentioned confidentially that her father was a butcher and her mother's father's cousin was a fiddler down the shore.
In My Uncle Freddy, Lecky was played by Gareth Brown and Uncle Freddy by Sean Prendergast. The narrator was Alex Ferguson. Our Mam was played by Charlie Hardwick and Our Dad by Colin McLachlan. Auntie Bella was played by Janine Burkett, Mr. Matatomini by Donald McBride and Grandad Fergie by Jack McBride. The music was arranged and performed by Jane Holman. My Uncle Freddy was written by Alex Ferguson and directed by Melanie Harris.
To my delight, she said I might meet Bonnie Gerard.